Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this service and sermon is Matthew 19, beginning with verse 16. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" this man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will be there for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed the will, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or mothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." This is the text. President Wenthe and the faculty and the Board of Regents and all the wives and relatives and friends of the class of 2000 and all you members of this millennium class graduating from Concordia Theological Seminary, may the Lord bless you with his word now and always. Graduations are for the purpose of announcing to the world that these persons are now ready to take up certain tasks and carry them out. Graduations from the seminary are public celebrations and declarations that these men are prepared to accept and God's call into the holy ministry, the holy task of distributing God's word and sacraments. You are now to be servants of the King of Kings. You are to be ambassadors of the Lord of Lords. You are to be under shepherds of the good shepherd from heaven. That's a holy task indeed. So precisely what are you supposed to do in this holy task? Well, that's simple. All you have to do is the impossible. Now, this consists of things like raising the dead to life and rescuing people who are lost from eternal life. You're supposed to rescue them for eternal life. You are supposed to change their hearts and minds from Satan's pattern of thinking to the pattern of God's way of thinking. And remember, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." You are to change people from hopelessness to joyful assurance. In fact, you are actually supposed to change people from hell to heaven. Now, that's simple, isn't it? But what a task. If it were possible to find a word even stronger than impossible, we would use that word now. But since our Lord Jesus himself uses that word in this text, we'll also use it. So why is this task impossible? The rich young ruler in our text illustrates why. He had possessions, lots of them. That's why he was called rich. He had social status based on his inheritance of possessions and by blood. He was oriented to this world, even though he seemed to be interested in eternal life, because he asked that question, "What good thing must I do to get eternal life?" That means that he was one of those people of whom the Lord Jesus is speaking in this text when he says, "It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." On top of that, he also was afflicted with what we might call hypocrisy. He had a mental image of himself that was not in line with reality. He thought of himself as very important. He thought of himself as almost sinless. In fact, he claims that he had done everything. "All these things I have kept. What do I still lack?" he says. But he wasn't quite sure that he was blessed by God enough to get to heaven. And he wanted to close the gap, so to say, as he came to the Lord Jesus. Ernest Becker is an unbeliever. He's a secular analyst of the human scene. And he wrote this a few years ago: "The real world is simply too terrible to admit. It tells man that he is a small, trembling animal who will decay and die. Illusion changes all this and makes a man seem important to the universe, and therefore immortal in some way." And then in that same book, Becker quotes another man, Otto Rank, and this is what Rank says: "With the truth, one cannot live. To be able to live, one needs illusions. Life becomes possible only in a continual alcoholic stupor, says Otto Rank. That depicts not only this young ruler, but everyone in the whole world as he comes into this world, because everyone has to have illusions about himself and his own importance, or as a sinful human being, we would all have to go out and commit suicide or something of that kind. The world into which you are being sent is a world of illusions and stupors and unreality. People don't want to face the truth about themselves. The individuals you will be serving in your various calls in Christ's name are individuals who live in a kind of a dream world full of illusions in order to escape the realities of sin and guilt and terror and death. And let's face it, while we're being realistic, you and I are part of that world. And without the Holy Spirit snatching us out of this world of illusion through the gospel, you and I would be right with the people that God sends us to serve. So therefore, what you have before you is an impossible task. It's like trying to go into a funeral parlor where there is a dead body lying in a coffin and commanding that dead body to rise from the dead. Impossible. Except for verse 26. Let me read you that. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." There's where a new kind of reality takes over. Let's face the old kind of reality. Sin and guilt and death and hell are real, except that God has introduced this new kind of reality. God is involved. Remember what the angel said to Mary when the angel came to her and announced to her that she was to become the mother of God, God the Son? Remember? When Mary said, How can this be since I have no husband? The angel says, "With God nothing shall be impossible." God the Son, came into our human shoes and took on the real problems of this fallen world. God the Son lived a holy life, not illusionary, but a real holy life, in the place of the whole human race, including us and the people that God is calling us to serve. God the Son did all sorts of impossible things, raising the dead, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, stilling a storm, and even ultimately raising himself from the dead. In the case of our text here, God the Son was peeling off all of the illusions of this young man and saying, "You're not so perfect after all. In fact, you also are a sinner in need of grace. God's undeserved love, forgiveness, pardon, and the gift, pure gift, of eternal life. Jesus, therefore, probably needed to go to a certain seminary out near the Los Angeles area, because this was not exactly in line with church growth principles. He drove this man away by telling him the truth. But Jesus also did the impossible. He died our death ahead of time. He tasted death for everyone, writes the writer of the book of Hebrews. And then he did another impossible thing. He took his own life back again and proved his victory by doing something kind of ordinary, but in this case, it should have been impossible. For he reached forth his hand and picked up a piece of fish and ate it after they had crucified him and buried him for being dead. It was reality. He had really risen from the dead. And therefore, this God-given impossibility became a God-given possibility, in fact, a God-given gift, a victory over death. That victory extends right into the 21st century, where you are going to be serving your Lord. In the 21st century, as in all previous centuries, Christ is Lord and God and is able to do the impossible. And therefore, the impossible task that he has given to you is now possible through him. It's possible for you and for me. The impossible, that is, that our sins would be taken away, is now not only possible, but it's done. It is finished. And he proved it by rising from the dead. Not only for you and me, but also for the people God is sending you to, the impossible will become possible through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Just think, as you stand in your own pulpit, as you go to your own altar, as you go to that font in your church where God has been calling you, then you're going to be doing the absolutely impossible. Because Christ is doing it through you. The world needs reality to replace the illusions of grandeur. Every day in your ministry, you will be able to show the impossible by walking in two kinds of shoes, neither one of which is yours. You'll be walking in the shoes of the people that Christ wants you to serve. And by walking in their shoes and thinking with them as to how life is treating them, etc., you will be able to find out how better to fit them with new shoes, the shoes of our Lord Jesus Christ, the shoes that you wear as his representatives. Those shoes are the shoes of the incarnate Son of God. For you see, you will be putting not only his shoes, but also his robe of righteousness over every one of them through the word and the sacraments that God is giving into your hands and into your mouth to present to them. My dear graduates of the year 2000, just think what an honor it is that you are called to do the impossible by the Almighty, the all-loving, gracious Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.